Welcome to the second hour of Authentic News on this 22nd day of December 2023, right here on RBN Live. Our first caller, Peter in Los Angeles. Peter, delighted to have you join the conversation.
First off, I want to say Merry Christmas to everybody out there, yourself included. Layla, I hope she hasn't called lately. I hope she hasn't died of a broken heart. I wanted to call you today, too. You just had an article about how there's a new Native American advocacy group within the military. I don't even have anything tremendously against that, except the fact that I don't have, as a Caucasian, I don't have an advocacy group within the military. That's denied me. I sent you an article just a couple minutes ago that was on blacklisted news today by a former naval captain, graduate of Annapolis Naval Postgraduate School of Monterey, who has a long and very detailed article on the impact of CRT and DEI in the military. It's really worth listening to. And I also sent you an article, I think it was yesterday or the day before, where the Space Force, the new branch of our military, the Space Force has a commissioning program. Now, in World War II, they used to have second lieutenants that were 90-day wonders. You remember that term? And I myself went through, like OCS and all that sort of thing. And mine was like 6 months long, my OCS. And that was after basic training for 13 weeks. That was basic training. And then infantry training as an enlisted man for another 12 weeks. So 12 weeks, 13 weeks, 6 months. That's what I was trained. That's how I was commissioned as an infantry guy, not some high-tech spaceman, right? And they had the picture, and in the picture, of course, there was it was very DEI-looking picture of these graduates of the first 60-day commissioning program, and there they had mutton chop. Of course, minorities were over, blacks were overrepresented, and mutton chop in uniform, wearing mutton chop sideburns, and I mean stuff that was completely disallowed when I and you were in. All that stuff's going on. And again, we have no advocacy program there at all. As a matter of fact, they're trying to purge us as quickly as they can. And, the fruits of all this subversion can be seen in the ridiculous incompetence of our military chain of command and how we can't get anything done anymore. That was the first thing. If you have time, I've got a second thing I want to talk about.
You've got the time, Peter. Go for it.
Even the Wall Street Journal and places like that have come out and said, and The Economist, a Rothschild publication, has come out, though, and said that the next 2024 in the United States is going to be a disaster economically. It's really going to be bad. And I just wanted to say overall that what we are living through is the utter mismanagement of our foreign policy and our domestic policy, because we've been dominated by a 1.7, not even, it's 1.7% of the 1.7%. It's a tiny minority of Jews who have assumed like total power over banks, media. If you can print money out of nothing, what can't you get done? If you can print money out of nothing, you can get anything done. But nevertheless, how what we're experiencing now and what we're going to be experiencing worldwide is, as I know you've seen it and I've seen it, but this is the fall of the Roman Empire, but it's been put, it's been greatly accelerated because our foreign policy has been on behalf of Israel and behalf of these international banking Jews who had this Jones against Russia and got us into the Ukraine with the ridiculous war and the ridiculous coup in 2014. That was all very Jewish driven, just like our interventions in Iraq and Libya and Yemen, and we're now reaping the benefits of that with the Houthis, in Syria, and so on and so forth. But also, what we've done, we're about to enter this what's going to be a horrible economic year, and what has been the Washington's answer to response to anything? It's been sanctions. It's hard to name a country that isn't sanctioned by us anymore. Now, you know, it would, how much better would our economy be if our businessmen could trade with Iran? You know, there's even sanctions on India for trading with Iran, or anybody who trades, for instance, with Iran or Russia. There are mild sanctions. What if they weren't there? What if we could trade with Russia? What if we could trade with China without the sanctions? How much bigger would our economy be? How much less would we be impacted by this declining economy, our declining place in the world? They're now talking about taking the $400 billion that we've confiscated, frozen, of Russia's, that are property of the Russian people. And since we can't get it through Congress anymore to fund the disastrous losing Ukrainian war, because now we're funding the disastrous Israel genocide, the murderous genocide, and we can't do both at once. But they're going to take that $400 million that they've frozen and apply it and use it, give it to the Ukraine against Russia, using their own money against them. Of course, that will increase the de-dollarization around the world. Who in the world would want to put their money in dollars if not only it can be frozen but used against you illegally? But on the other hand, I'm saying, well, why would they undercut the dollar like that and increase the flow to the BRICS? And because that's what it's going to do. And then I realized, well, that's because they can't get these bankers, these rapacious Jewish bankers, can't get to that money as it's frozen. But if you send it to the Ukraine, they'll get their cut. Mr. 10% will get his cut. Hunter will get his cut. All the bad Jewish bankers, they'll get their cut, and that's the way. They don't care about the de-dollarization so much. They can divvy up $400 billion. So yeah. I think that's probably going to happen, and that's why. Just like Sam Bankman-Fried and the Democrats and Republicans, some of that will get laundered back into election interference, not from the Russians, but from Zelensky, the piano playing with his schlong president over there, and it will get laundered back into our political process that way as well. It keeps up their control. They're going to need it in the election year. Anyways, those are just a couple of. But what we're managing here, this is nobody is turning to the United States anymore. Israel and their murderous onslaught in Gaza, their murderous ethnic cleansing, genocide based on Lebensraum and master race theology, which is what it's based on, just like the Nazis, has completely destroyed any moral authority that we had left, is gone, as we now just are engineering everything we can do to keep from a ceasefire from happening. Every veto we can use, we use. And we can't send them enough bombs and white phosphorus. We just can't send them enough. They just can't murder fast enough for our government and Joe Biden.
Peter, you're absolutely 100% correct. This is a Biden Netanyahu Netanyahu Biden genocide. It's going to go down in history that way. This is one of the greatest black marks in the history of the United States. All brought about deliberately How can a self-respecting American president support genocide against the Palestinians? He can't. That's because Biden isn't a self-respecting president. He's a puppet. It's not even the real Biden. I watched him walk to Air Force One, the helicopter. His motions were completely robotic. Now, among the speakers at my Volkswagen conspiracy conference this past weekend, which, by the way, was quite sensational, you can find some of the presentations already up on my Twitter at Jim Fetzer, many, many more already at my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. Check them out. Dr. Catherine Horton, who's led the legal fight against targeted individuals who are hit with electromagnetic weapons to disrupt them, and many of whom turn out to be chipped, was describing what appears to have happened with this guy, this phony Biden who wears a face mask. So, of course, his face never changes because it's a mask, walking totally robotically. You would have thought it was 3CPO walking toward the Air Force One. I mean, it's just outrageous. If you want to understand how bad it is, this guy is all chipped up and he's under control of remote sources. Peter, that was just an excellent call. I can't thank you enough. If you have a final thought?
It's just that in Congress and media are just, they may as well be chipped up. Because look at them in lockstep over this genocide, just like they were in lockstep over the disastrous war in the Ukraine that killed 500,000 Ukrainians, let alone the Russians and everybody else, and cost us that they admit to over $100 billion. But I mean, it's not just chipped up Biden. It's our entire controlled political structure and our media. And it flows from the banks because, again, if you can print money out of nothing and never be audited, there's nothing that you can't get done or control. That's it for me, Jim. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
That's great, Peter. Excellent call. Thank you so much. Dan in Washington. Dan, join the conversation.
Great point by Peter. Genocide Joe, you know, don't forget that term. No, say no.
That's great. I like that. Genocide Joe. That's perfect, man. I love it.
I just wanted to correct misunderstanding yesterday. When Gerald Pyle got charged with racial profiling, I'm not saying I agreed with that, but I'm saying that's how they got the laws to where, you know, any kind of big national deportation is just not going to happen. Unless they change those laws. And the Republican Party, I mean, hasn't been trying to change those laws at all, you know, except for Trump. I'll give Trump credit. So, you know, that was my main point. You know, if he says he's going to have a border force just deport everyone, it's just not going to happen legally. You know, unless there's got to be major changes first and the Congress is supposed to act on it.
First off, you need a living, breathing president with a conscience and principle who cares about America. And we're not getting that from the Democrats in any way, sharp or form. It's just disgusting. Disgusting, Dan. Continue.
I agree. I do agree with Peter. I feel like we're kind of the fall of Rome here. And I agree with what you said. Yeah, you know, and I've said that for a while, diversity is not a strength. That's a talking point they use, diversity is a strength. But we all know it's a weapon, and NATO's using diversity in these European countries. You know, they want to destroy nationalism or the middle class. So we're getting that here, too, and I feel like, it's either part, either way, it's almost too little too late at this point with the diversity. I feel like Russia and China might start, you know, because they have this plan to break up Russia. I could see Russia and China really fighting to open our borders, too. So we have the Kalergi plan. We have all these plans already in effect. But then I think Russia and China are going to want to get even for trying to take Ukraine and stuff. So it's going to be like the whole world is going to be wanting America to open its borders, and they're all going to be bribing our Congress. It's going to be horrible. So it's kind of, I do see a fall of Rome scenario here.
Open borders spells the end of America, have no doubt about it. I love that phrase, genocide, Joe. It has a certain ring to it. Dan, I do think, by the way, if Trump were in office, I believe him when he says he'll implement the largest deportation program in the history of the nation. I also believe him when he says he's going to be able to clean out the deep state. That's the senior executive service in the government that has civil service protection, shapes policies, makes decisions, even though it's all unelected. He devised a Schedule F to get rid of them, and if he's back in office, he will implement it, I have no doubt. A final thought, Dan?
I agree with you, guy. I mean, go ahead and vote for Trump. I can't say Genocide Joe's better, so I support you in that. And I think this court case is going to go nowhere. I think it's illegal to, if he wasn't convicted of insurrection. Yeah, he hadn't been convicted of that. So this court is going against that court case by saying he's guilty of that. So I think he'll be thrown out. But I guess
it's going to be turned down, and I predict it will be a 9-0 decision by the U.S. Supreme Court. They've overplayed their hand, and they got Democrats saying they think it reveals that they're using the courts to interfere in the election. It's just too blatant. Dan, thanks very much for an excellent call. You got it. Paul in New Jersey, join the conversation, Paul.
Hello, Mr. Fetzer. I want to put out just a point of view about part of the problem of contemporary America. You know, I believe that the high water mark of American prosperity was from post-World War II up until the late 60s. And I would argue it was a time when America was its most fascistic, actually. You know, the women were oppressed, supposedly, and knocked up at home, and they didn't work by male supremacy, right? We had high graduated income taxes, which are communist in nature. And we had a very high levels of trade unionism with a good amount of workers in the country being protected, and their wages and careers were protected by trade unions. All socialistic, all what would be considered fascistic by the libertarians out there. And you see, Jim, I think that now, you know, in America, the current American hellscape is actually the result of libertarianism sold by the Milton Friedmans and the Chicago School of Economics, which came up with this theory of libertarianism sold by also by Ayn Rand, right? Basically atomizing white people. And that's why a Jew like Ayn Rand would sell libertarianism to all whites, because instead of whites acting in concert as a united racial group, it divided us up into all wanting and pursuing our own economic gain, right? And I would argue, now, if you look at libertarianism, some of the concepts are, well, we should have open borders. You know, borders don't matter. People should be free.
Paul, I want to carry you over. Stick around. We'll be right back with Paul after this break.
Helena Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. Say it's all right. Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter.
Well, Paul. Well, I think you're making some points here. I would just say I grew up in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s. I think there was a kind of a golden age of America post-World War II to the post-assassination of JFK. And that's, of course, when Lyndon took over and jacked up the war. And JFK would have, I think, got rid of the Fed. We wouldn't have this massive debt that's all based on paying interest on to a consortium of private banks. We would have had a constraint of the CIA, wouldn't run rampant. We wouldn't have had all the militarism and exploitation. I mean, he was opposed to all those things and would truly have ushered in a wonderful era in American history. But the conservatives were so worried about a Kennedy dynasty that JFK would serve 2 terms and Bobby 2 terms and Teddy 2 terms. And they felt it was all contrary to their interests. I mean, for God's sake, he was even going to cut the oil depletion allowance, which the Texas oilmen regarded as akin to their divine right, cracking down on the mob. Bobby was bringing more indictments and convictions than ever before in history. I mean, there's so many aspects to this. I think post-World War II, through the assassination of JFK, was perhaps the best time of America, but I wouldn't describe it as fascist. I just say it was conventional. You know, there were ordinary standards, relations, the American family was a basic unit. You had a father, a mother, and you had kids, and we rampant feminism would only begin growing later on, that really had the effect of making women uncontent with their role as housewives. I mean, I think you can take it from there, but I'm not at all sure that the word fascism or describing this as fascist is equal to the reality. That's my concern, Paul. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm just linking it to what the modern libertines would call it. And we should remember that the root origin of the word libertine is tied to the libertarians. And I argue the libertarians take freedom to all kinds of excesses. And because of these excesses of allowing big business to do what it does and allow actually certain aspects of individual freedom, because I believe, as in Page and Gillen's argue, that we live in an oligarchy and we have out-of-controlled oligarchs who are running this country into the ground and using it as a home base for their international treachery and skullduggery. You know, I look at it this way. It's like, if we let them have our way, they'll set up private toll roads and charge us for that. They've emptied out some of the things they've already done. Is they've outsourced all these corporations. They sent it to China. We taught our economic rivals through these capitalists how to manufacture and compete with us. So that's why I see the oligarchic class as incompetent, inept, and we must strip them of their power. Ideally, through graduated income taxes would be an excellent way to do it. Now, listen, you walk around the streets of Philadelphia, they call it the Kensington Shuffle, right, where all these drug addicts hang out near the train stations. And this is in many cities, just using drugs in open air in the public. And the government doesn't do anything about it. We don't want to put them in mental institutions to keep the mentally ill off the streets. And this is what I'm saying is part of this mindset or this cultural rot is because of the libertarian mindset. And also the result of libertarian mindset is that the capitalism leads to monopolism. And we're getting plenty of that. And so a lot of the pathologies of modern America, I think, because we've allowed unbridled capitalism to run wild. And if you think of it and look what it's done with healthcare costs. You know, Jim, in Italy, they live longer lives and they spend one third as much on healthcare than Americans do.
Yes.
Right? And so we are getting, and that's because the capitalists open up the system, I think it was under Nixon, where they started to toy with doctors and allow doctors to not, you know, like, do no harm. No, it was called make as much money as you can, boys. And they turned it into just a go for it and rip off all the patients. And now we have the most expensive health care cost per capita in the United States.
Yeah.
And by the way, our longevity in the United States, we're rated, I think, somewhere around as like number 40 in nations. I don't think we're even like in the top 20 for longevity. Because we allow big corporations to deregulate the food and add any food additives they want to add. You see, and this is libertarianism.
You're making a lot of wonderful points. You're giving us a great deal to think about. Give us your final thought.
No, I said before, we got to start regulating this stuff. We got to clean up the food. We got to like reduce the healthcare costs. We got to start taxing the elite,
Paul.
The oligarchs, for their own good, Jim. For their own
really good call, Paul. Thank you so much. We'll be right back.
Truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Our next caller is Frances from North Carolina. Join the conversation, girl.
Oh, boy. Watch out now. Be careful what you ask for. good afternoon to you, young man. First, I'll start with a happy Christmas to you and yours. And secondly, I have to thank Tom in Florida for the compliment that he paid yesterday, which I was totally floored by. I was like, wow, okay, I'm impressed. So thank you, Tom. That was very kind of you. Anyway, as far as Joy Boy being so roboticized or whatever with the chips or who knows what being implanted that you noticed was very mechanical in motion.
Yes.
How do we know that he was not, that being was not an android to start with and not actually Joy Boy? How do we really know? Inquiring minds would like to know. But aside from that, hey, this day and time with technology and the political scene and all that, I don't put anything past them. I mean, look at Ms. Hillary Clinton and so forth. I mean, there was a commentary about that gal. Ugh, give me a break.
Yes.
But anyway, aside from that issue, when I hear the commentary about, well, things are going to get bad in 2024, you know, I keep hearing that every blooming year for almost a decade. Now, the question is, to start clarifying, where is it going to get bad? why is it going to get bad? Well, I think we already know why it's going to get bad, because it's being orchestrated. But the question is, what sectors of society is it going to be messed up because of it? For that
yes.
matter. So besides the given that we currently do it now.
Let me, Francis, comment on one of your points there. How do we know that Uh-oh. Wasn't a robot? Actually, it could have been. Because you could put this mask, this latex mask, on anything, you know, that will handle it. And what struck me about it is his back was rigid. His back was rigid and straight, and that is not true of this guy. I mean, he's not the real Joe Biden, but he's a real old guy, and he doesn't yep. have a straight back. It was like it was ramrod straight. I'm saying you could have been nailed it. Actually, this could have been a robot. You're 100% correct. I think, in fact, I'm willing to say it probably was. Go ahead.
Well, when I think of the film that they had back years ago, back in the 90s perhaps, I don't recall what year it was, with Robin Williams called Bicentennial Man, we're talking about a robot that is striving to try to become human despite the positronic brain that's in the proverbial mechanical skull. So that creeps me out about that deal.
I think, by the way, I think C-3PO is a better companion and smarter than the guy we got in the White House today. Continue.
I would have to give you that, yes. Even though I'm very averted to mechanical beings that are talking to whatever you, I am a big aversion to that, because I'd rather talk to a human being, a biological human being.
Yeah.
Here's the reason why I don't
of
use
course.
A self-checkout in store. When a machine starts talking back, it's like, okay, enough of this. I'd rather have a human talking to me instead of a machine.
Yeah.
Aside from that issue, yes, there's so many different things that are going on that I have to admit, Paul, that chatted with you a moment ago, there's a lot that they nailed on the head. It was not even silly as far as how things are being handled or regulated or who knows what. Things were simpler. Things were a lot more innocent. But behind the scenes, how innocent were they?
Yeah.
How innocent were they at that time? People did have a lot more belief in the Bill of Rights. They actually had a law enforcement department or whatever that helped keep the peace.
Yeah, it was enforcing the law.
It was crime.
We didn't have open borders. We had a sane society.
Well, that's a shame. You can't have a sane asylum.
Francis, give us your final thought.
Well, for me, a shot of meat for the holidays, and for the dear folks in Gaza that's being... Bob, that reminds me. A big shout-out to Layla, since I've not heard from her yet. I hope she's doing well. And my heart goes out to the Palestinians over in Israel and all that, because there's...
Yes.
That's unspeakable. Meanwhile, have a fun weekend. Take care. Later.
You have one wonderful Christmas, Francis. I always enjoy hearing from you. John in Colorado. John, join the conversation.
Yeah, happy holidays, Dr. Fetzer.
Thank you.
In Colorado, not that I reside there, it's just ridiculous that the Supreme Court and who talked them into doing that, no doubt Democratic circles.
Sure.
And Trump,
all seven of the judges on your court, John, are appointed by Democrats. They're all Democrats, all seven. So what's remarkable is that three of them saw this was absurd and the wrong thing to do. That is the beam of light there.
Yeah, that's, like I said, you know, they're all Democratic justices and all that. But interesting, if they do get it all the way to the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, and if they would overturn it, it's a gray area. And I think there's possibly somebody's going to, you know, influence him to going along with that. But I hope
No, they're going to overturn it, John. Mark my words. There's no doubt. It's probably going to be 9-0. It's ridiculous. This is an absurd decision.
Well, I hope you're right, but I've heard this before.
Yeah.
Where they go and they wonder sometimes. They say, "Oh, we're not going to hear it," and all that.
No, that's a big deal. This is going to be an expedite case. It'll be decided already in January, I predict, and it's going to be 9-0. This is just ridiculous. Go ahead, John.
All right. I hope you're right. I hope you're right, Dr. Patrick. I like listening to the callers up to this point today, especially Peter in Los Angeles and Paul. Good knowledge and good things to know. There's a book that Michael Collins Piper wrote, I think 2005 or 2008, and it was a fictional book that he called. It was called "My First Days in the White House." If you've never had a chance to see, I don't know if you still get the book. You get a chance, read it. If you have it, it's really interesting. It's fictional, but it just tells you the thing that you know when you want to overthrow tyranny, it can happen. And the big thing about it, that it was during the presidency of Bush Jr., I believe. It finally just got unbearable, and the populace just revolted. And what happened was the military backed the populace and just overthrew the hierarchy and went arresting and jailing and executing various big figures. And Israel was the downfall of Israel.
There was a time when our military stood with the Constitution. Those days are long past, sad to say. It's been corrupted. Give us your final thought, John.
I know. Anyway, like I said, it does show, you know, if you want, I've just started rereading it again. It does happen. But anyway, you just got to keep on top of that. That's why.
Nice.
Thank God for you and all the other RBNs that bring up this stuff and call it. So happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and all that.
Yeah, John, same to you. Thanks for the call. Jerry in Chicago, join the conversation.
Hello, Dr. Fetzer, and I hope you have a Merry Christmas. I have a question for you. I was looking into the JFK assassination, and the reason LBJ had to move so quick and make this happen is because supposedly he was going to get arrested the next day or within the next couple of days. What was he going to get arrested for?
Well, look, that afternoon, 22 November 1963, there was to be a vote in the Senate about Bobby Baker, who was LBJ's bag man in the Senate. And it was widely expected to tarnish LBJ so badly he couldn't run again with JFK. JFK had already decided not to run with LBJ. Remember, he'd forced himself on the ticket back in L.A. in 1960. And he was thinking of running with Terry Sanford, who was a governor in North Carolina. It would have been a great choice. But Lyndon was a deep legal issue. It was closing in on him. He was going to take out Jack on that day. If it didn't work out Dealey Plaza, it was going to happen at the Trademark. They changed the venue to one with lots of balconies and exits and entrances. The Secret Service didn't like it, but they were overruled. And if they didn't get him there, they were going to get him on the Johnson Ranch, which was the least desirable since it was his own property, but the most secure from his point of view to finish a job. So those are some of the basics. There's more to the story, but you're on the right track.
Okay, that's all I wanted cleared up. So I thank you very much for your time, and like I said, you have a great weekend and a great holiday.
Oh, thanks, Jerry. Thanks. Super, super. James in Charlotte, join the conversation.
Going to sort of have to change paths here. I was going to make a comment on the Colorado Supreme Court decision, but I'd want to comment on some things that your caller, a few callers ago, I believe it was Paul was his name, asserting that back the post-war era from 1945 to the late 60s, which is generally considered the post-war era, was so economically robust because it was primarily fascist. He made a few good points, but I'd say he's about one quarter right and three quarters wrong. One specific point I'd like to make: I'm sort of a disciple of the libertarian view of Milton Friedman and some other libertarian economists. But one point that Friedman specifically made about open borders, he said that you cannot have open borders if you have a welfare state. Because people will pour in from every corner of the world to take advantage of it rather than to become capitalist and to try and build themselves up through the capitalist.
Contribute to society, 100% correct.
There were a few more. I mean, essentially, the system, many of the systems that were in place in the post-war era would not work today because we have so much more international economic competitors. All of the primary competitors were so devastated in World War II. I mean, we came out of it basically as the lone superpower, and were able to maintain it for approximately two decades.
Yes.
And then Vietnam and some other things, Great Society, Lyndon Johnson's Great Society in Vietnam, I think, were the two main components which set us to the disastrous course that we've arrived at today.
And then I would add, I think Bill Clinton signing NAFTA was catastrophic. Remember when Ross Perot said that giant sucking sound is all those jobs moving south? He contributed in a major way to the destruction of our manufacturing and industrial ability, which had been the foundation of our economy up to that point in time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's you can name a lot of other things, but I think that's certainly a major one right there.
Yeah, I really think so. Bill Clinton and Barack Obama promoting the Trans-Pacific Partnership, that was going to be further collapsing the economic viability of the United States. We've had a lot of presidents who've done very, very bad things to us economically. Trump's the opposite. He gave us a surging economy, economic independence, closed the borders. I think he could do the same if we can get him back into office, but God knows the Democrats are going to do everything they can to prevent it.
Yeah, assuming that we have an election this coming year.
Yes, I agree. Well, James, I think you made good points. Yeah, I was most concerned about Paul's use of the word fascist. I just don't think that's the right word. Fascism, even Mussolini defined, could be equally defined as corporatism, a merger of big business with big government. I didn't see that happening in that era. But I just saw very productive but conventional in terms of social mores and the centrality of the family, and there wasn't a lot of weird sexual perversion, and you didn't have a massive preoccupation with pornography. I'm told half of the internet viewing is pornography. We didn't have the lawlessness. We had reliable law enforcement. I mean, it wasn't a perfect society. And in the South, we still had remnants of segregation. I agree with that. But my God, we were better off then, I think, than we are now. James, a final thought from you?
Well, I think you've summed it up pretty good there. I think was certainly not just our economic apotheosis, but probably morally and spiritually as well.
Yes. Yes. I think so, too. Very nice call, James. Thanks very much. You have a wonderful Christmas holiday season.
Okay. And I hope you do, too.
Thank you for calling. Tom in Florida, join for the Christmas finale. Tom, your thoughts.
Good day, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. Merry Christmas, everybody in the RBN audience there. And, Francis, you sound like a Viking woman to me. So anyway... Jim, what I want to talk about is, I hope Marco and Miles and all those great guys, Sebastian and Mike, all those from those foreign countries, and John Scottish, John, all those guys are great callers, man, all awesome people. But what I got to say is this, Jim, yeah, by the way, did you see the news about John Snyder, the Duke the Hazard today? Having to pay attention to that?
Yeah, I actually mentioned that story, if you mean where he was saying Biden ought to be tried for treason and hung. Is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely. And it's appalling to me that they would want to, you know, this guy's, you know, he's a great guy. He's a great singer. He was a great entertainer, you know, and then he's just telling the truth. And you can't tell the truth, yeah. But you got you have Madonna out there. When Trump won the presidency, saying about blowing up the White House. You had Sean Penn, and you had this guy Robert De Niro, who said they wanted to punch Donald Trump in his face. And he to walk into the White House and he'd punch him in his face. And did the CIA investigate those guys? But no, John Snyder's just telling the truth about our invasion of our country, and now they want to persecute this guy and blackball him from Hollywood.
Oh. See, you're telling me what I don't know. You're saying they're going after him legally for speaking out.
Yeah, well, Hollywood, you know, Hollywood's going to team up, and they're going to blackball him, you know, ever produce or make movies or, you know, even sing songs and all that. It's disgusting what these Marxist Zionists are getting away with. It really is disgusting.
Yeah.
Now, let's get to the real truth. They have totally wiped this country out as far as our Bill of Rights, our Constitution, because these Zionists, the swine, the Talmud. And you know that guy yesterday called in. He made a great call, but you're talking about Barbara Lerner Spector. I looked her up, Jim. You realize how ruthless this woman is? She's a monster. That Barbara Spector is a monster, and she should be tried in a military court. And George Soros, they're Jews. They're Jews, Jim.
Yeah, yeah.
Just call them what they are. They're
Tom, I tell you, I think.
Jews.
I know. The polarization of the country is just becoming astounding, even breathtaking. More, Tom, more.
It really is. No, it really is. Well, you're right. It's just astounding. And then you watch this bumbling buffoon, Biden, mumble, stumble, can't even talk, can't even walk. Like you said, he looks like they have, like, he's like a robot. They got electrodes in him to keep him walking. I mean, it's a disgrace. And then you got that Kamala Harris with that crazy laugh. Jim, I can't believe the leadership of this country. I
know. Well, you got to understand, it was installed, Tom. We didn't vote for this. This was installed.
No,
this was imposed upon us by the Rothschild banking interest, George Soros, Barack Obama, manipulating behind the scenes. They stole the election and put these people in to destroy America. That's their sole objective, Tom. Sad to say.
Well, exactly. But, yo, Jim, I hear now Louisiana, Alabama, Texas, they might kick Joe Biden off the ballot. Wouldn't that be something?
Well, see, this is why it was crazy. It was crazy that Colorado did that. As Jonathan Turley has said, you're opening a can of worms. It's all unconstitutional. You don't want to go there. I am anticipating, as I've already said, the U.S. Supreme Court is going to dump this 9-0, Tom. That's a testable prediction. I think it'll happen in January, very fast.
I believe you're right, Jim. I really hope it does. It has to happen. Another thing I got to bring up to you, and the shows here on the radio show here in South Florida today, Jim, they were talking about this Debbie Blabbermouth Schultz, and she's all over the media now saying, as Donald Trump should be kicked out of the presidency. And here, this woman, Debbie Blabbermouth Schultz, is probably the most filthiest woman in Congress, Jim. I went to a Trump rally, and this Debbie Blabbermouth Schultz had 15, 16-year-old girls holding signs that said, F-U-C-K, Donald Trump. It was the most disgusting display. And I asked the girls, little militant little Jewish girls, why they hold signs at your age? Why would you do that? Because they want to get paid money, Jim. You hear what those little yentas? Those yentas say they wanted to get paid money. So Debbie Blabbermouth Schultz's campaign is paying these girls money so they can say whole signs about Donald Trump saying F you, the president.
Tom, let me get a word in edge. I'm convinced she was involved in orchestrating the Parkland fake shooting. She was worried that the Iran-Awad scandal, where she had this Pakistani tech guy who was spying on Congress under her authority, was going to cost 11 House seats in Florida alone. I believe she was involved in orchestrating the Parkland shooting, where they set up that March for Our Lives in Washington, D.C., way in advance of the shooting. In fact, to close roadways in Washington, you have to request a permit 6 months in advance. That's like 4 to 5 months before the shooting took place, and yet they claimed it was based on the shooting. I've done a lot on this. Everyone, if you get a chance, you want to download my law enforcement false flag stage of it checklist. You'll see links to a whole lot of these, and you get a sense of what's going on. Tom, give us your closing thought. We got another caller to work in. Tom.
No, you're absolutely right. Debbie Blabbermouth Schulte is a Marxist communist. She's in the condo canyon. Oy vey, oy yay.
She's a Zionist. Tom, you're nailing it. Tom, you have a wonderful Christmas holiday season, okay? And I'll look forward to talking to you in the new year, Tom. Meanwhile, Vinny in New Jersey. Vinny, join the conversation. Vinny, are you there? Vinny? We lost Vinny? Tom, you could have had a few more words if you want to call back. Anyone? We got just a minute or two left. Oh, we do? Okay. I missed it. Renee, join the conversation. Oh, I see. Very good. Renee. We also got Rick in Arizona. Go ahead, Renee.
I can't say enough good about Paul's call. Thank you, Paul. Somebody who actually has brain cells, okay, who's actually looked at things from multiple angles, trying to analyze a situation that could maybe get us out of this, instead of just being like a kind of right-wing patriot propaganda parrot, just repeating talking points that keep us stuck in the divide-and-conquer right-left paradigm. Paul, you rescued my brain today. I can't think of if I would have said what Paul said, though, some of the stuff Paul said, if I would have said that, the phone lines would have exploded calling in to polarize this, made to call me a Marxist commie.
I don't think so, Renee. And you speak up for yourself very, very clearly, Renee. Give me a final thought, because I got Rick standing by in Arizona. I want to get him in. Your final thought, Renee?
Well, like I say, the thing is, what he said was new thought, thinking. Like I say, because let me tell you, the healthcare situation, too expensive, and it's terrible, too. How come Bill Gates can get the best healthcare?
Yeah.
But you know what? Renee. John Stadmiller died because he was fearful. He didn't have money to pay for the bill and didn't seek medical treatment. So everyone who thinks we should not have universal health care, John Stadmiller's blood is on your hands.
Renee, you have a wonderful Christmas. Rick and Tom, I'm sorry I couldn't work you in. I'll get you in the new year. Have a wonderful new year. Spend all the time you can with your family, your friends, the people you love and care about. For all the reasons I've talked about for so long, and support RBN.
I want somebody to love. Oh, I can buy a little help from my friend. Gonna try a little help from my friend. Oh, I get high a little help from my friend. Yes, I get by a little help from my friend. With a little help from my friend.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.